two ways, two paths, the path of godliness and the path of wickedness. And that's really what drives the entire book of Psalms, is laying out what is the path of wisdom, the path of righteousness, the path of godliness, and then the rejection of the way of wickedness. And that runs all the way through our text. We're going to see it today in the epistle lesson. We're going to see it today especially in the book of Proverbs in our Old Testament lesson. And we will see it in our gospel lesson, the two paths. One man comes back to Jesus, the others keep on moving on. Our sermon text this day will be Proverbs. We'll be looking at the two ways, and especially as it relates, I know I'm a week late on this, but as it relates to Christian education. Our service this day, divine service setting number one, page 151, our opening hymn will be, if I got my bulletin in the right place, 873? Yes, okay. 873. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for gathering us here today. We pray, O Lord, that you would set us on the path of wisdom, the path of righteousness, that you would enable us to set those children entrusted to us as a congregation on the path of righteousness. We beg you, O Lord, that you would be with us as we hear your word and receive your gifts this day. May we be strengthened in the true faith to life everlasting. Your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 873.
Divine Service Setting 1, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro for the day as you find in the front of your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord, we praise you, we give you thanks. We praise you, Lord, your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, who is our
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church with your perpetual mercy, and because of our frailty, we cannot but fall. Keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs, chapter 4. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning, and your faithfulness by night. The epistle is from Galatians, chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We sing now our hymn of the day, hymn 849. Please be seated.
My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the Old Testament lesson read a few moments ago from the 4th chapter of the book of Proverbs, dear friends in Christ. Who is teaching our children? Right away there seems to be a problem. Now, maybe you are single. Maybe you're still in college. Maybe you're a child yourself. Maybe the Lord never gave you the gift of a child. And so you think, well, I can check out for the next 15 minutes. There may be no children that you can call your own. But that's not what I asked. Who is teaching our children? Our children? I think one of the greatest problems in congregational life today is that we see ourselves as just a collection of individuals who happen to show up at the same place for a couple hours a week, instead of as a community of faith, united here together to receive God's gifts, united together for the good of our neighbors, united together with a responsibility toward our brothers and our sisters in Christ. The children of this congregation are our common responsibility. We together as the body of Christ are to see that they are raised in the faith. Indeed, that's what we say every time a child is baptized at this font. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother or sister in Christ, that together we might hear His word, receive His gifts, and proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So who should be teaching our children? The Bible actually has an answer for it, and it is quite clear. And it is implied in the very first words of our text. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. The way of wisdom is to be taught in the home. It is to be passed on from generation to generation, parents to children. In fact, you might have heard of it. God actually gives a commandment that drives this point home. Honor your father and your mother. And if you look at the small catechism in, you know, a copy of it or in your hymnal, you will see that Martin Luther begins every section of the small catechism with these important words. As the head of the family should teach in a simple way to his household. So who is the head of the family, we might ask? In normal circumstances, where sin hasn't wreaked havoc on this order, it is to be the husband and father. Who should teach our children? Well, the Bible says fathers, first of all. Part of being a man, a husband, a father, is to ensure that your children are raised in the faith. Now, studies have continually shown, you type it on Google and you can see tons of studies throughout the decades that have shown that when fathers bring their children to church, the chances are almost astronomically higher that those children will become regular churchgoers than if their father is absent from worship. Now, this fact, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. This fact isn't meant to discourage mothers who faithfully bring their children to church. It is to call on fathers to be men, to man up and take the responsibility that God has given them. But this fact doesn't excuse the rest of us. These are, as I said, our children, and we should all be concerned as a congregation for our children. We are to encourage and exhort parents to teach the faith in the home. We are to, and I think we can do a much better job at this, we are to give them the resources they need to do this task. And we are to teach young men to be the heads of their households. How to man up. Who is to teach our children? We, as a congregation, the body of Christ in this place, are to supplement the teaching of the faith that occurs at home. That's why we have a Sunday school. That's why we have confirmation on Wednesday nights. That's why we have a day school and a preschool, to exhort children as Solomon does in our text. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Now, parents, now don't get the wrong impression. Parents are free. You are free to ask other churches, other congregations, to ask the government to educate their children. You're free. But if our school isn't at least the first option that they take a look at, even if a parent decides that it's not the right fit, that they go somewhere else, if it's not at least the first option looked at, and it clearly isn't, let's not kid ourselves, then our congregation, especially our leadership, needs to do some hard thinking. For we together, not just the school board, not just the staff, but all of us, this congregation, have a responsibility to make our school, if we're going to have a school at all, to make our school a place where parents want to send their children to be set on the path of wisdom. For there are many others who seek to teach our children, and wherever our children receive their education, there's no safe havens in this world. You cannot put your child in a cave. There are many who seek to set our children on the path of the wicked. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Who is teaching our children? Well, so often it's those in power. The rich and the famous, athletes, celebrities. Those who produce our television programs and our movies that our children consume. Those who pull the levers of government education. Now, it's no sin to ask the government or anyone else to help educate your child or to turn on your television at night. But, dear friends, we cannot do so naively without knowing what our children are taught through whatever means the world seeks to teach them and countering any falsehood that we see with the truth of God's Word. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. If you think that our children can be taught that sex is only recreational, just be safe, that the world came into being through random chance, or that gender is fluid and has no connection to the realities of biology, and that these teachings and others will have no effect on the faith given to our children in their baptism, repent. If you think that an hour a week or less of Christianity can counterbalance countless hours of the world's education, then repent. If you think, and I hear this attitude a lot, that by sending your child to a Christian school, even our school, that your task of raising your child in the faith is somehow over, that's all you need to do, repent. Repent, dear friends, repent. For so often we send out our children as sheep among wolves. We neglect our duty to prepare them for a world that hates them and hates Christ. Repent. For so often, the last thing, the absolute last thing, if we even look at it at all, the last thing that we look at when considering colleges is where our child will go to church. Repent, for so often after our children are confirmed, we give them the choice whether to go to church or not. Repent, for we have made sports, watching and playing, an idol, to which we will even sacrifice the salvation of our children. Repent. For the devil wants our children. He wants them to stumble. He wants them to falter and fall. He presents to them a wide and easy road shrouded in darkness. He doesn't want them to know that they stumble. He simply wants them addicted to sin. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The devil wants our children to stumble, to leave the faith. He is master of 1,000 arts. He doesn't care where you send your children to be educated. He just simply changes tactics. He simply wants them to stumble. He wants them to be his. But do not fear, dear friends. There is another power in this world who has already overcome the devil with all of his wiles. He has put Satan under his feet, crushing the serpent's head upon the cross. It is he who guides our children on the path of life. It is he who marked his children, our children, with the sign of the Holy Cross in their baptism, who made them his own and will not leave them nor forsake them. The way of wisdom, the path of righteousness, it's not a moral code, a path of right and wrong. It's the path of salvation, the path of the cross. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. His words are life, only if they are the words of the gospel, the words of the cross, Jesus' death in our place. A moral and upright life cannot save us, for we always stumble. We enter the paths of wickedness every single day. No, his words are life, because they give us healing from our sin. The prophet says in Isaiah chapter 53, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." It is the wounds of Jesus that heal us. He was pierced for our negligence, our failings toward the children entrusted to us as parents or as a congregation. He was pierced for when we prioritize other things over the salvation of our youth. He was pierced for our every transgression, and with his wounds you are healed. Who is teaching our children? Jesus. Jesus teaches his children the path of righteousness, the path of the gospel, pouring out upon them the grace that he won for them on Calvary's cross. That is what he does here in this place, bestowing his grace upon us and forgiving our every sin, reassuring us of our identity as his children. It is he who leads us on a path without stumbling. The words of our text, you know, they're not really the words of Solomon at all, but the words of the one who suffered and died for you. Who suffered and died for our children. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. It is Jesus who gave us the faith, who died for us, who baptized us into his name. But he doesn't leave us to our own devices when we leave the font. No, it is he who keeps us from stumbling, who leads us on the paths of righteousness, a path bathed in his light. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. When the light of the world shines on us, then we can see the path. Every rock of stumbling is driven away. We will not stumble nor fall, because on this path there is only Jesus. Jesus and His body, our church. Who is teaching our children? The beautiful message of the gospel for you today is that while the children given to us as parents or as a congregation are ours in a very real sense, they are even more truly His. They are Jesus' children. You are Jesus' children. And He will fight for His children. Now, yes, He does so through you and me, those who have been given a solemn charge and responsibility toward our children. But the responsibility ultimately lies with Him. They are His. You cannot save another, not even one of our children. Thanks be to God. That is the work of Jesus. He died for them as He died for you. He forgives them as He forgives you. And He has prepared a place in heaven for them as He has prepared a place for you. He is your life. He is your healing forever. In His name, amen. Having heard the word, we stand and we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all the worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us in Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give thanks for all that You have done for us, for Your death, for Your resurrection for our sake, for showing us mercy, for giving us healing in Your wounds. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that You have done for us and enable us to show forth our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to Your service. Lord, in Your mercy, grant Your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in Your church, that by their devoted service, faith may abound and Your kingdom increase. We especially pray this day for Dr. Allman and his family as they consider a call to Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Be with them as they consider this call from You. Lord, in Your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceful life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to Your holy will. Lord, in Your mercy, Bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, and centers of research, and those who teach and work in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. We especially pray for all the educational endeavors of our congregation, our Sunday school, our confirmation instruction, our day school, our preschool, and all those who are in the teaching profession at whatever school they are employed, that you would use them as your instruments to lead children in the path of wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, sanctify our homes with your presence. Bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service that they may show forth your praise in our land and in all the world. We especially give you great thanks and praise for the gift of a son, Gabriel Bernard, to Jonathan and Sarah Bliss this week. Be with mother and child and bring Gabriel safely to the waters of holy baptism next Sunday. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. And at this time, we especially offer a prayer for the Yonker family, the daughter and son-in-law of Gary and Myrna Heckman, going through tremendous difficulties and challenges, especially Bentley, who is in critical condition. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith here and around the world. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to all those in sorrow, especially the family of Betty Kieselhorst, who will be laid to rest here at Good Shepherd tomorrow morning. Grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and this day we rejoice with Willis and Delaine Legband, who are celebrating their 55th wedding anniversary. May their love for each other continue to strengthen and grow through every joy and sorrow shared. Lord, in your mercy, all these things, whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of Him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please pass it along and sign in. Guests or visitors, we're very glad to have you with us this day. We ask that you provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this day. At this time also, we receive from the bounty that the Lord has given to us our gifts and our offerings. Thank you.
Please stand, and we continue with the offertory on page 159. And salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh, was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praise you and sing. Of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you have created, and send your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathering the name of the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strength to preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand. We continue with the Nunc Dimittis on top of page 165. God, the Father, the fountain, the source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing as we close with a common doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Just a couple of announcements. We have three opportunities for Bible study today. In the fellowship hall, Pastor Poppy being gone, we're going to have Dr. Matthew Phillips, who will be leading our Bible class, doing some historical background to the formula of Concord in general, I think the Lord's Supper controversy in particular. So he'll be leading the main Bible class. I will be starting a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class, room 109. Everyone is invited. If you all come, we'll have to get more chairs. But everyone is invited, and come and take part of it. And especially if you're looking to learn more about what we as Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. And then we always appreciate having established members of our congregation in there to be a part of that class as well, as a refresher, and then also part of the fellowship with those who are maybe thinking about becoming members of Good Shepherd. And then up in the youth room, Vicar will be leading our high school youth, continuing our study of the Luther movie. Tomorrow, 10:30 a.m., is the funeral for Betty Kieselhorst right here at Good Shepherd. So keep that in mind and keep the family in your prayers. And if you're able to come and be with them at this time of mourning, certainly would invite you to do so. It's 10:30 tomorrow morning. Regular schedule this week with Bible classes and confirmation and all that. I don't think there's anything unique coming up here in the immediate future. You see in your news and notes a couple other things. Well, yes, family fun nights on Friday. Yes, family fun nights on Friday night, 5 to 8, correct? Yep, 5 to 8. There's a sign-up sheet on the back there and for various things. Did I miss anything, or is that pretty much long and short of it? Okay. Yep. 5 to 6:30 serving the meal, and then games for the rest of the evening as well. So everyone's invited to that, put on by our school, but it's for everyone. And there's sign-up sheet for to bring various things, help out with the games, that sort of thing. It's always a wonderful evening here at Good Shepherd. Lord be with you as we continue to revel in His healing words of wisdom. God's blessings.